The Prime Minister is poised to announce his finalised ministerial cabinet today after reportedly fierce competition within Labor's left and right factions. While some ministers will receive new roles, Treasurer Jim Chalmers, Finance Minister Katie Gallagher and Defence Minister Richard Marles are to retain their portfolios. Anthony Albanese has already come under fire for removing Ed Hissick, the former industry minister, who says his stance on Gaza may have been a factor. Mark Dreyfus has also been dropped from his senior position and will not be returning as Australia's Attorney General. This week's the Liberals and Nationals will meet to choose their leaders as both parties seek to reinvent themselves after Labor's washout at the federal election. Three potential successors have announced their ambition to succeed former opposition leader Peter Dutton in the role, with Tim Wilson, Susan Lee and Angus Taylor taking to the hilt. Jacinta Nampaginta-Price intends to run for deputy leader, backing Mr. Taylor as the boss, a controversial move before she has ever sat in the same party room as her Liberal colleagues. As a country Liberal Party member, she is allowed to choose whether she joins the Nationals or the Liberals in their respective party rooms. The Northern Territory Senator enraged the Nationals when she defected to the Liberals within days of her re-election. More than a week after the federal election, at least eight seats remaining are in limbo as the Coalition and the Greens are preparing for the party room votes in coming days. They are Bradfield in New South Wales, Kooyong, Culwell, Monash and Flinders in Victoria, Bean in the ACT, Ryan and Longman in Queensland. Counting continues as these seats have turned to postal and absentee votes to determine each winner with a narrow margins. Meanwhile, the Liberals and Nationals will also be holding party room votes this week to decide their leadership teams. The Eurovision Song Contest has begun in Basel, with 37 nations competing for the annual prize. Australia is being represented by musician Gojo, who will sing his hit Milkshake Man, and is renowned for being able to play guitar while riding a unicycle. He has attracted a growing number of fans during the rehearsal period in Europe, with betting agencies rating him 17th most likely to win in the contest. The European Broadcasting Union has set the theme, United by Music, to attempt to keep focus on the acts and events in the time of widespread geopolitical tension. The event has been steeped in controversy over the inclusion of Israel. Dozens of protesters gathered in the Swiss city where the event opened with a parade to call for the country's expulsion over the war in Gaza. Protester Lex Barucci was among them.
For me, I think it's unfair that a country like Israel can be here and can participate in this contest while they are killing 1,000 people.
Upcoming wages and unemployment data could have a significant impact on the Reserve Bank's closely watched interest rate decision. With close monitoring on the impact of United States tariffs, domestic signals have taken something of a backseat in the recent months. But the release of the wage price index and labour force figures this week is expected to provide crucial information for decision makers. The data is the last major release expected to influence the Reserve Bank Board's decision before it meets a set of interest rates for next week, starting May 19th. The United States administration has announced it has just reached a trade deal with China as both parties attend a summit in Switzerland. The report comes amid an escalating trade war between the two of the largest economies. Chinese Vice Premier He Lifeng hailed the move in what he called important progress in trade talks with the US. At the end of a weekend of closed-door decisions and discussions in Geneva, he says the talks had been candid, in-depth and substantive. Earlier in the day, US Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent echoed a similar sentiment.
I'm happy to report that we made substantial progress between the United States and China in the very important trade talks. First, I want to thank our Swiss host. The Swiss government has been very kind in providing us this wonderful venue, and I think that led to a great deal of the productivity we've seen.
The countries are expected to put out a joint statement later today. In AFL, Gold Coast have edged the Western Bulldogs by 10 points in a high-pressure clash in Darwin, cementing their top four spot with a 15-16 to 14-12. The Bulldogs clawed back from a 28-point final quarter deficit to get within 3 points late, but Gold Coast held firm. Bulldogs coach Luke Beveridge admitted it was one that got away, lamenting costly turnovers and missed chances.
Yeah, the turnover stuff was pretty extreme. I think we gave them over 70 points from possession gains. Some of that was you can absolutely give the Suns credit for, but some of it was just us not quite being good enough in the execution of the skill at different.
In today's weather, Cairns will see a shower or two at 28, Brisbane a shower or two at 25, Townsville is cloudy at 29, Sydney is seeing showers at 22, Newcastle is a shower or two at 23, Orange is having possible showers at 18, Albury-Wodonga is cloudy at 23, Melbourne is sunny at 21, Hobart is partly cloudy at 18. Adelaide, it's different there. It's sunny at 24. Perth is sunny at 27. Broome is sunny at 34. Darwin is mostly sunny at 33. Alice Springs is partly cloudy at 25. And Thursday Islands are seeing showers or two at 28. That's all in the news and weather for Monday, 12th of May. For millennia, First Nations people in Lutruwita, Tasmania, have had a connection to the sea, including the cultural practices of shell-stringing necklaces, diving, and hunting. Work is now underway to establish the state's first sea country Indigenous protected area, designed to support conservation, protection, and management of the area, which includes ecologically important seagrass beds. Tasmania correspondent Karen Thomas has been in Big Dog Island in Tairicha, or the Bass Strait Islands.
Fiona Maher's connection to the sea goes back generations. She's a senior ranger for the proposed Tairicha Sea Country Indigenous Protected Area.
A lot of our cultural practices rely on sea country, so all our shellfish, our mutton birds or eula, our Kanalaricha shell necklaces, all those shells are found in these waters.
The proposal for the Indigenous Protected Area is around the Furneaux Islands in Bass Strait, also known as Tairicha. It's the first sea country IPA for Tasmania. It will link five existing island IPAs and includes Ramsar wetlands and ecologically significant coastal habitats. The protected area won't affect other users here.
It's just about empowering our community to care for our country.
A management plan for the area is in development, and it's already helping foster collaboration between the Tasmanian Aboriginal Centre, University of Tasmania, and Deakin University.
What we're aiming to do is basically to primarily map the seagrass beds around the Furneaux Group, because basically they're large and extensive, probably thought to be the largest around South Australia, but they haven't been extensively mapped before.
One way the seagrass is mapped is using a benthic observation survey system, or BOSS camera. It's dropped for 2 to 5 minutes at a time, dozens of times a day, measuring the spread and length of seagrass, as well as the different species.
Studying the range of species supported by the different seagrasses, the impacts of seaweed, and trying to figure out how much carbon the seagrass beds are storing.
Seagrass is thought to be basically 2 times more efficient than some of the plants on land, but it sort of depends on the forest and where it is. And so the idea is basically to match the maps with the samples we take of blue carbon and to look at what the storage capacity is of the beds here.
Working with the rangers to build a long-term monitoring plan. On Big Dog Island, Karen Thomas, NITV News.
Indigenous rugby league star Olivia Koenig has praised the new look New South Wales coaching staff ahead of the second women's State of Origin match. The Blues went into the series with a new halves pairing, as well as 4 debutants in a 20-player squad. New South Wales dominated Game 1 against the Maroons, winning 32 points to 12. On NITV's Rugby League show Over the Black Dot, Koenig praised new coach John Strange and the changes he's brought.
We're with Camilla Roy, Titans star and New South Wales Blues player Jamie Chapman. Jamie, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.
Well done on winning Game 1. You've come into this series off the back of an injury. How's that been?
Yeah, it's been really good. We've had full support from the physios and Strangey. They backed me the whole way and, really lucky enough to be able to get out there and play Game 1 and get the win, and looking forward to Game 2 and 3 and getting the win there too.
And you guys are 1-0 ahead after an epic win in Brisbane last week. That must have been a boost to the confidence for all of you. How are you feeling going into Game 2?
Yeah, we know we have some room for some improvements. First day of camp and it's really exciting already, so I look forward to the game.
There's a number of First Nations players in the team. How do you guys honour and celebrate your culture here in the camp?
We have a few Indigenous players here and we're all very proud of who we are. We're all unique people coming in together as one, and we have lots of cultures as well. So we're a very diverse team and we're really, really grateful for that. And we all love getting out in the community and being proud of who we are, representing that last name on our backs.
I'm sure you're a role model to a lot of other young, aspiring athletes, particularly with Indigenous heritage. What would your messaging be to them?
I'm super grateful that there's some young girls looking up to us and wanting to be NRLW players as well. It makes me so happy. And for me, it's just I want those young girls to know that they can come here, they can be an NRLW and come into this level as well. Don't be scared to reach out. You'll make it into the NRLW when you get older.
Jamie, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with us today. And best of luck for Game 2, which will happen at Sydney's Allianz Stadium on Thursday, the 15th of May.
Thank you.
Two men have been found guilty of murdering 15-year-old Noongar Yamatji teenager Cassius Turvey. The Supreme Court jury in Perth handed down its verdict on Thursday after deliberating for 5 days. Christopher Tan has the report.
For more than 2 years, Cassius Turvey's family has waited for justice. Today, the WA Supreme Court jury delivered its decision. After a 12-week trial, 24-year-old Jack Brealey and 29-year-old Brody Palmer were found guilty of murdering the 15-year-old boy in what prosecutors called a brutal attack that had nothing to do with Cassius. Mitchell Forth was convicted of manslaughter. Alicia Gilmore walked free, acquitted on all charges. Cassius was walking home from school in October 2022 when he was chased down and struck with a metal pole. He died 10 days later. The court heard the group was out for revenge over a broken car window and a teenage love triangle dispute, but misidentified Cassius. Jurors were shown confronting CCTV and heard from 89 witnesses, including teens who said the attack came without warning. All 4 had denied any intent to kill. When the first guilty murder verdict was handed down, emotions broke at the back of the courtroom. And following the verdict, Cassia's mum said her son will forever be remembered as a gentle giant and a boy that helped everyone.
It's been a lot of regrieving over 3 months, but I feel very lightweighted in my heart and soul today. Justice to me will never be served because I don't have my son and he's not coming back.
WA Chief Justice Peter Quinlan has handed down a sentencing date for June 26.
Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
You're listening to NITV Radio. I'm Nari Pakai and we're speaking with Mandy Nicholson, curator and artist with Body Place Project, presenting Ngarrigal Mudumu, Body of the Mountain, an experimental exhibition full of collaborating artists. Thanks for yarning with us today, Mandy.
No worries. I'm really excited to yarn about the exhibition.
Can you introduce yourself? Who's your mob? Where are you from? Who are you?
Well, I'm connected to a lot of different mobs and I do a lot of different things, but I'm Wurundjeri, so a traditional custodian of Naam and of Cotton Mount Dandenong, where the exhibition is. But also I've got connections to the Nurailamurang, which is around the mountain ranges behind Hillsville, for those that know Victoria, which is pretty much the central part of Victoria, and also Jara people, so the Jajawurang language group around Bendigo. So I really love doing all things to do with culture, cultural expression, language, dance, but I'm not the dancer, I'm the singer more so. So I've been doing a lot of different things. So I've been a visual artist for over 30 plus years and also been part of, a founder of Jiri Jiri Dance Group. So we're the only Wurundjeri women's dance group that sing in the Woiwurrung language. So growing up, I was missing out on my language. So when I was older, I had opportunities to, after I finished university, I did university and did an archaeology degree. But there was always that thing missing of language. So a job came up at the Victorian Aboriginal Corporation for Languages. And I jumped on that. And from that moment, I've been able to understand the structure of revival languages, the proper pronunciation, the use of ancient language in a modern context. So being able to, you know, say things that we say today, like good night or hello, goodbye, all that kind of thing in language. So that enabled the Jiri Jiri Dance Group to have some really beautiful songs related to country, culture, the spiritual connections that we have, and also the spirit protectors and different animals. So it's been a really beautiful thing to witness the young girls grow in that cultural safety net. But also on top of that, well, I founded alongside with a couple of senior elders the reclamation of the Murum Turukuruk ceremony, a coming of age ceremony. So Murum means body, Murum or Maram means body, and that forms part of the exhibition title. Turu is the reeds that we wear in the necklaces, and Guruk means the feminine. So it's the coming of age ceremony for our girls. So we've been doing that since, I think 2014, and it hadn't been done for over 185 years. So that sort of is a general thing, a description of what I do, but I'm also a grandmother. I've got two little grandkids, 3 and 1, and also I'm the carer of my little great-nephew who's 1 as well. So I do a lot of different things all over the place. I'm a mentor for young blackfella girls. I also am a Woiwurrung language specialist, but I also did a couple of years ago now, completed my PhD on, the title of it was On Country, Off Country. So how do you connect to country when you're off country? And this could mean you've been off country for a couple of months. It could mean you've been off country for years, or it could mean that you've never been on country. So it was focused on the spiritual connection we all have to country. So I made sure that I never was bored in life. So now I'm focusing more back on the art world, and that's why I've been really excited to be part of Ngarrigal Mudumu, the Body of the Mountain exhibition, with a group of very diverse and beautiful artists that enabled us to express our connection to Kotamorabu, the mountains. So the outcome of all of our different expressions of that is going to be really beautiful. So, yeah, that's just a quick summary of a few things that I've done.
No, that's an incredibly intense summary, and to see how interconnected you are with yourself, family, culture and community. What was it like collaborating with so many artists? And they all talk so highly of the residency and walk on country that you did together.
Well, I thought when Gretel, because I've known Gretel for many years, and we did an exhibition, or she did it, she was part of an exhibition, maybe 10 or 15 years ago, something like that. And it was revolving around the Lyrebird. So we called Lyrebird Bulun Bulun. And she wanted us as a dance group to perform there. And I said, oh, look, we'll have to create a new dance. So that was the reason we created our Bulun Bulun Nyarga, our Lyrebird dance. So I really credit her for creating that space for us to do, like that expression and creation of new stuff. But the other artists I'd never met before, and it was really beautiful walking across the mountain. It took us, I think, 3 days or so, and it was 22 kilometres or something like that. It was really good, number one, to get out of the house, because getting, you know, stuck sitting, working on the computer all the time, driving around everywhere, it really burns you out. So this was really a nice little break that we had together, and getting to know each other's expression of their artistic practice was really amazing, because we all stayed in a share house as well, and just understanding some worked in sound, some were body movement in place, which was, I was very, not really understanding too much about what that actually was, but it was about pausing, taking a breath and truly listening to what's around us, like the wind in the trees, and expressing that in body movement and things like that. And the last day it was raining and we were near a waterfall. And this has really stuck with me, because we were told, Artie, one of the other artists, we were told to close our eyes and turn slowly our heads, pick up on sounds that we heard. And when we moved our head, obviously different sounds were amplified. I thought, this is amazing, because we don't think to do this too often. So we all created a sound with our mouths, obviously, from the sounds that stood out to us. And it was one of the most amazing experiences when we did a little sample of it back at the gallery space, where we had to walk through the people that were standing either side of us, and they were making that sound, but we had to walk through there with our eyes closed. And it was, yeah, it took me to another place. So things like that's a really good example of how we can connect to other artists from different cultural backgrounds, but also be so different, but also the same, because I always talk about tuning out of all those crazy city noises and life noises and focusing in on the birds, that even in the middle of the city, you can still hear the birds, like the dun-dun, the rainbow lorikeet, you can hear it all the time in the city. And really teaching people to do that, to slow down, to really take a breath, take your shoes off, feel the grass between your toes, like we used to do when we were kids, because we forget to do it as adults. And I've really learned a lot from the variety of the outcomes that the artists do, and just yarning with them and how it's going to be placed within the gallery space. I'm really enjoying it, but there is one downfall, that because I'm so busy with other things, I haven't been able to dive in 100% into the joint curatorial side of it. So it's been really beautiful to be part of this whole project, and I'm really excited for the launch, which is later this month.
So throughout this, you've done the residency walk, and you've also done a little bit with the curation. But what is it that you've created for this exhibition? What are audiences going to see when they see you?
When I was walking, doing the walk on the mountain and really enjoying everyone's company and yarning and just absorbing the environment, what I really noticed, and I kept stopping, is when you're walking, you don't really look at the ground too much. You're just walking and looking at the trees, looking at whatever you can find. But I had my head down a lot, because the thing I noticed was the variation of vegetation from like the western side of the mountain to the top to the eastern side. So the eastern side's more cold and rainforesty, like cold rainforest. Then at the top is a mixture of both. And then on the western side, the drier side, it was more stringy bark. So the thing that I really noticed along the whole walk was the different variety of leaves and the different colours that the leaves are showing throughout there. You know, when they're green, they fall, they turn into all these beautiful rainbow colours, and then they turn brown. But then they turn into like a silhouette, like a skeleton of the leaf with the veins in it. And I often talk about when tuning out of everything that's going on, look at things differently. And one of those things that I talk about is looking at those gum leaves that have just got the structure left, just the veins, and really studying that, because when we look at a gum leaf, we can see the main veins, but we don't really sit there, really focus for a long time on the other things around those veins, which are smaller ones that hold it all together. And then I say, well, look at the bigger picture, look at the veins and compare it to the veins in your body. And then even bigger, you look at that and compare it to the veins of country, which are our waterways. So that really stood out to me. And because I'm Wurundjeri, Wurundjeri, or Wurrun means the manna gum leaf, and jeti is the grub that lives in the tree. So gum leaves are really important to us. So what I really enjoyed watching as I was walking is the way that the leaves naturally fell. So they were overlaid, green ones were overlaid with yellow ones. So my part of the exhibition will be to honour those leaves as a symbol of welcome for the exhibition, but also the life journey of those gum leaves and remembering country through the understanding of how nature is such a beautiful natural process. And we do have to remember to always look down, because we're told to look up and around, but never look down and pause and enjoy it.
Join the conversation on radio, online and mobile. You're with NITV Radio.
So also with your Jitty Jitty dances, you're going to be part of, or the dancers are going to be part of, the opening ceremony on the 24th of May. What are we going to see that? Is that going to be inside of the building? Is that outside? What do we expect from that opening ceremony from you guys?
Well, Wurundjeri Exhibition Space, or Wurundjeri Cultural Centre in Upway in Cotamotable, Mount Dandenong, is such a beautiful space, and it's not just, doesn't just look beautiful. It has spaces for artists. It had spaces for artists in residence. They have the little spaces, little offices and studios. But what I also mean is that it's a beautiful, welcoming place to express your cultural identity. So it's culturally safe. So being there over the years for openings of other exhibitions and meetings and just gatherings and workshops. So we're going to be performing at the very beginning. So there's a big foyer area. So we'll be doing it in there. If it's really fine weather, we'll even go outside, because I always prefer to do that kind of stuff outside and welcome all the guests in that way. So we'll do our welcome dance, which we always do. But I think one of our dances will be really perfect for it, and it's called the Babandarang, so Mother Tree Dance. And there's also the Bikanyarga, the country dance, and that honours all the six layers of country. So below, on, water, wind, sky and star countries. But Babandarang is the mother tree, and it's about, it's a comparison of cultural survival to the life of this beautiful big bial or red gum tree. And this tree represents, like, because there was a tree in the city near the church there in Nam in Melbourne, and I was finding these records from the 1800s, and it said that they called this a prayer tree. And I said, oh, righto, I'm going to claim this tree back, you know, culturally. And I called it the mother tree. And I could just imagine the life of that tree, seeing everything living in harmony, the water being clean and drinkable, everyone happy and everything happy and healthy, animals, plants, people, families. And then this tree was growing healthily as well before all the hard-hoofed animals came and destroyed the beautiful ground. And this tree was cut down, which represents invasion. But then this tree grew so strong because of the strength of the elders, which are the trunk. The roots grew very deep, which represents language. The shoots represent the community leaders, and the seeds that she dropped over those hundreds of years of life represent our bubups, or our babies in the next generation. So it's really like a perfect sort of song and dance to be sung at this exhibition, because this beautiful mountain, that I found a picture from maybe the early 1900s or so, and it showed the little towns up here and the remnant trees, and it was really sad to see, because there weren't very many trees left. It was all logged and replaced with European trees. So now the community up here are you know, more aware of that. So they're making sure that they protect country and there's more of the remnant trees, or if not, they replant them. So I think it's a beautiful thing to be up here, because I've recently moved a couple of weeks ago up to Mount Dandenong or Cotamotable, and it's such a different way to live than where I was living down near Dandenong, because it's not like rush around here, there, everywhere. But I do that anyway in the city. But when I come home, a dun-dun will be out the back. Like around 6 o'clock at night, they come, the rainbow lorikeets, and there's hundreds of them, and they roost in the tree next to our house. And also see Butterwan, the magpie. I see Bunjil, and that blew my mind, because just out of my land room window, there was Bunjil flying. I'm like, what the hell? Like, he's our spirit protector and our creator. But also you'll see other birds that are connected to all of our stories. So we've got Balanbalan, the Currawong. We've got white cockies, black cockies. We've got all of them. And that's what I felt I needed, is to, like, I've always felt connected to country, but connected in a visual way, because when you're living in the suburbs, it's very hard to do that. But when you've got nature and all the animals around you, all that I think of is all of those Wurundjeri stories that were written from observation, and I'm right in the heart of that now. And it enables me to really feel extra connected to all of those stories and the ones that have trailblazed before me. And I am really looking forward to expressing that connection through the gum leaves in the exhibition.
Mm.
But I suppose that my part of the exhibition in a visual way is going to be what I hope to be. I always leave things right to the finish line, but what I hope to do is to do a big gum leaf that's curled up, that is that skeleton remnant of the gum leaf, but I want to do it with a sewing machine. And it sounds really complicated, but it's just basically buying this like plastic sheet and putting that and drawing the design on it, and then putting that through the sewing machine and colouring it in with the sewing machine. So it's basically scribbling with the needle, and you're filling in the gaps with the different colour threads. And what it does is when you finish doing that, you wash that plastic and it dissolves. So it's a dissolvable plastic. And then you can pin it to the board or the canvas, and you can make it with little pins that you bend the ends of, and it comes away from the canvas, so you can make it almost like a 3D finish. So hopefully I'm doing that at the beginning, and then I'm doing some different variations of painted leaves on canvas, and then doing digital ones that will be stuck to the ground and throughout the exhibition space as though the wind has blown them in. So yeah, doing different types of mediums is, yeah, really different. And I like to step outside of the stuff I've been doing for years. Like, I've been doing paintings for years and been getting into the public art realm as well. So going back to this kind of stuff is really good.
It sounds like a beautiful mix of different visual mediums that you're working with. For audiences who are coming to see this work, what do you hope that they will leave with?
I think people coming to the exhibition will have a deeper understanding, and this is what I kind of do at every opportunity, is to shine a light on the richness and diversity of Victorian blackfella culture, because there are a lot of people that think there's just one culture, one language. So language is throughout the whole exhibition. We've got other artists using some language in some songs and things and soundscapes. So they hopefully will come out understanding the richness of the Woiwurrung language as well, but also understanding that connection to country from non-blackfella perspective and blackfella perspective can be very different, or it is very different. So the spiritual connection is that added thing that we have, but you can also connect, anyone can connect in different ways. So walking country together and sharing is a beautiful way to help the wider community understand that everyone in their own little special way can look after country. So as a traditional custodian, my three roles are to take care of myself, others and country, and visitors do the same thing. So looking at country differently, hopefully after they go through the exhibition, they'll realise, oh, they can do it too, and they can go out and look at these beautiful gum leaves, or go and listen to the nature sounds, or take photos of different things with the sun. Like, there's another artist that does prints through paper that develops in sunlight. So, yeah, it's really cool. And hopefully they'll come out understanding that expression of nature is unlimitless.
This exhibition sounds like a beautiful expression of country connectedness and all of your creativities. For anyone who is seeking out and wants to go and see this, where can they go? Where can they find you if they want to follow you as an artist?
Yep. Well, if they want to find out a little bit more about me, you can just Google my name, Mandy Nicholson. Or if you're interested in the Jitty Jitty Dance Group, we do have Facebook and Instagram and a webpage. So DJIRRI. And for the exhibition, just look up Burringer Gallery up in Mount Dandenong and you'll find all the information there.
I want to thank you so much for jumping on the call today. It was lovely speaking to you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for having me.
That was Mandy Nicholson. Exhibition by Body Place Project will be at the Budinger Gallery Upway. It will run from the 24th of May to the 13th of July 2025. You're listening to NITV Radio.